don't know what the hell's going on.
But you're trying to reach the Skype user.
What the hell's going on?
This call could not be completed because you're trying to reach a Skype user.
I don't know what the hell's going on.
Don't people make fun of the Pope's hat all the time?
Not in Florida.
No, not in Florida.
Oh, I am recording, by the way.
No, this isn't going on.
I don't know what the hell's going on.
It's part intentional, but it's also, you know... One of the nice things about masks is you probably hear lots of negative stuff.
Yeah, Mike.
But I do like the fact that it is like a neighborhood bar. And those are sort of becoming a thing in the past, you know. And, you know, these people are mostly, most of them are walking distance, you know. They're in that neighborhood.
Right. Now, see, in my anarcho utopian future, 1,000 years from now, that's how most everything's going to be.
Uh-huh.
It's going to be traded with a local currency, not connected to some distant Federal Reserve or anything like that. No fiat currency.
Uh-huh.
You know, your time is going to be worth stuff. People are only going to spend, you know, maybe 15 hours, 20 hours a week working. And then the rest of your time is going to be creative. I talked to you about this before, that the
market... Not going to be creative, it's going to be anesthetizing.
Wow.
People are going to be...
I said utopian, Mike.
Yeah, no, I don't have right now a particularly bright, you know, idea about the future. I don't think the future is bright for this country.
Well, not this country. I'm talking 1,000 years. You're not getting big enough yet. You know, just like when women didn't have the right, black men got the right to vote before women did, Mike.
Yeah.
You said something about that 300 years ago. A lot of people would say, what do you mean by vote? What's a vote? But, you know, then we got democracy, and then I think it was Martin Luther King that said that
do we really have democracy when... 3/4 of the people don't even vote?
Oh, see, that's because of the television. Oh, see?
they're telling them there's an election coming, and then they still don't vote.
Gore Vidal said that the Russians were so envious of the United States because they controlled us with television better than the Russians could with all their Secret Service and spy apparatus. That Americans got anesthetized.
There's probably some truth to that.
Yeah, well, see, you don't know me well enough, but that's where I'm coming from.
All right.
I'm an anarcho-utopianist.
Okay.
Looking at the big in your picture. But I also know we might get struck by some straight...
asteroid.
That's real, too, you know.
Yeah. You should look up I was reading an article. I was talking about True Detective the other night, and I think it's an HBO drama.
Is that like the magazine my mother used to pick up every once in a while?
Well, yeah, no, it's not. It's lurid, and you know, it's about a lurid crime.
Yeah, well, I was always disappointed in my mom. I was reading National Lampoon, and she'd get True Detective.
Yeah, well, I was reading an article. I guess the Wall Street Journal had an article about True Detective.
Is it puffy?
No, it's informed by some sort of negative philosophy. Some guy at the end of the last century who influenced H.P. Lovecraft, which I haven't read. I don't know him. But,
I've read some Lovecraft in short stories, sci-fi collections.
Apparently, it's just anti-human, and when the character goes into these speeches on the show, I find it amusing. But somewhere, people are taking it seriously, which is, I guess, surprising. And somebody, a writer at the Wall Street Journal, is taking it seriously enough to write an article about it. I was like, oh boy, I don't really feel like I'm really in with the zeitgeist in this country anymore. I feel like I'm just sort of a fringe character.
Oh boy, I'll pull that one.
Don't you feel the same way? I mean, do you feel like?
Oh yeah, but I feel like I'm intentionally fringe. Like I said, I'm out there on the outside so I can observe it.
It's part intentional, but it's also, you know, just the way it
inevitable.
Inevitable. I'll catch the Glenn Jones show on Sundays because I'm driving. I think I told you that me and Glenn Jones were born on the exact same day.
You never told me that.
And we were born in the same hospital.
The exact same day.
November 4th, 1961. Yeah, we could have been me and Glenn could have been neighbors in the maternity ward.
Wow.
We probably were because he's J, I'm L.
But so you love him, huh?
Yeah, I like him, and I like X-Ray.
Yeah.
He's a true right wing. He doesn't get into politics on the show, but he's a. He's a right winger on Facebook.
Well, I know that I think somebody said that he was also a juggalo.
Yeah, which I thought that was a gag for a while, but apparently that's sincere too, so that's a little bizarre to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then he's still so likable. I mean, thank you. Did I tell you the story?
No.
Yeah, I was just driving down a street in a suburb, and there was these two guys with a pickup, old beat-up one with a hood open, and the guy came up to me and he said, "Do you have a Ford?" I said, "No, I don't." I said, "I usually carry one, too," and that was the truth. But then when I looked at him, he had that clown with the hatchet on his stomach tattoo.
Okay, yeah.
And I just drove. I said, "Sorry, I can't help you." And I thought, you know, if it was anybody but somebody that had that tattoo on, I probably would have gone and picked up a couple cords and dropped them off for him. Because he just wanted enough so he could get out and so he could get to the convenience store to get a couple cords on there because he's got old.
Oh, yeah.
That I would have done it, like if it was an old lady, I would have done it in a second. If it was somebody like me.
No, you judge the individual, you know? I mean, you know.
Well, and the situation, you know, he is in the truck doing some sort of work, and just because he had that clown with the hatchet, I couldn't go buy him a couple quarts. I guess I'm talking about it, so it bothered me.
Well, you know.
Could have been X-Ray.
Could have.
Would that have been right?
You went with your gut. It's, you know, there's no right or wrong. You know, what are you gonna? You're gonna punish yourself for the rest of your life because?
Well, this happened 8 months ago, and I'm bringing it up now. So obviously, I have not reached any kind of complete closure with it.
I think you can let it go.
It was kind of against my nature.
You probably met a fellow juggalo right after you blew him off.
Who had four cords.
Exactly, and they went and partied, and they, you know, had a, you know, made a friend for life.
Okay. Oh, this is great. Now we got a counseling show. I'm liking this.
You seem to have like this fear that you can be easily manipulated. That's what you're a bit of a contradiction there. You know?
Yeah.
You don't strike me as somebody who is easily manipulated, and yet you think it's possible.
Yes. I think because I have a psychology background and I like to pay attention to like neuroscience and stuff, and there's what we perceive is only like 10% of the data that our brain takes in.
Oh no, I'm with you all with all that stuff, you know.
All I'm saying, Mike, is that that there are really super smart people out there that are consciously, just like you buying the do-rags because they know where to put them.
Uh-huh.
You know, they know where. I just heard recently that grocery stores put flowers up front, even though most people don't buy flowers at the grocery store, because it gives a feeling of freshness and naturalness. And so people don't usually buy it, but they walk by the flowers. It smells good. They feel good. Now they're going in the shop, you know. And
yeah, my shop right has flowers right by the cash registers.
Just to reinforce, but so I'm saying that is that we live in a world where it is very complicated. I read a great book a long time ago by Douglas Rushkoff called Coercion. And man, that was so enlightening, you know.
Was he on FMU's or some show?
Yes, he had a show for a while, and he was also a guest with Benjamin Walker. He's a great thinker.
Coercion is called?
Coercion, yeah, that was very formative to me. Just like when you go into the mall, that you go in an aisle and it turns. You rarely get to just walk in straight logical lines because they want you to get confused, and if they don't have natural light come in, there's no clocks, they want you to be disoriented.
Uh-huh.
And then some teenager clerk who's got the uniform on suddenly has become an authority figure. You know, like, how do I find my way to the do-rags?
No, I'm not saying people don't maybe sort of will make sort of blunt, you know, sort of non-logical purchases.
Oh,
but for the, you know, you don't strike me as that type of person. You strike me.
No, I'm not, Mike. But it is because I make a truly conscious effort, and I get tired, you know, of blocking.
Uh-huh. I don't know. I mean, with me in shopping, it's basically, you know, I don't go to the place unless I know what I have to get, you know? And generally, you know, maybe occasionally I'll get something that I hadn't planned on, but it's something, you know, I'm going to use. It's not like some, you know, I don't grab, like, you know, the National Enquirer at the register.
Yeah, that's good.
You know, I'm not grabbing candy at the register, which they also put there, you know.
Right.
I don't do that. I don't grab all this stuff.
So you recognize, though, what I'm talking about as far as...
I guess...
We are in a structured system that is totally built to make us consumers, not citizens.
Well, you can't be a citizen without consuming, you know? I mean, what you're doing is also helping your fellow citizens earn livings, you know? So you can't have a... What are you proposing, a society where there's no goods in purchases? I mean, it's just everybody just sharing everything?
Well, ideally, but...
Okay, well, yeah, I mean...
No, but...
That's a nice dream, but I mean, do you think it's likely? You know, so I mean,
I
you know, there's
eventually, but we're talking in the tens of thousands of years. I think we will eventually get that intelligent.
Yeah, that would probably take a major catastrophe to, you know, make that sort of giant leap. You know.
But see, you know, me not watching television, though, is the same reason why I don't go to church, though. You know, that's what I'm trying to say, that we have these subtly ingrained structures in our society.
Yeah, no, I understand. I mean, and we're right up against one with the Super Bowl. I mean, that's become some sort of national holiday, unrecognized, you know. Like Francesca thinks it should be on the week of President's Day.
I think it should be on at Christmas, and we could just celebrate all our crazy holidays at the same time, you know.
Like Francesca wants it on President's Day weekend because this way you can sleep off your hangover the next day. Because, you know, I think it is one of the largest days that people call in sick, the Monday after Super Bowl.
Well, and I also think that it's one of the highest times for spousal abuse as well.
Yeah, I just read some little list of somebody's gripes about the Super Bowl, and they're all legitimate, you know. I mean, if you're not into it, you're not into it.
Right.
I'm not, you know, it's like, to me, it's a nice little distraction once a year. Like I said, I did enjoy when the Giants were playing in the Super Bowl because I do sort of watch the Giants and follow them. You know, I'm not reading statistics. I'm not one of those, you know, sports savants, you know, that retains all that information.
Sometimes I ask myself, why did I store all that data for so long, you know? But
yeah, I think when you're a kid, you sort of throw yourself into all these different things.
Well,
and
it's true. I also like the National Lampoon. Were you a National Lampoon guy?
Wasn't always, you know, a big deal for me, you know. I guess the Animal House was the big thing. I mean, that happened when I was in high school, so that was like the right age for that movie, you know?
Right.
I think I told the story about the first time I saw it. A friend of mine grabbed the fire extinguisher from out of the theater.
No.
And he smuggled it out under his jacket. And then we drove around shooting people with it. Yeah. And then, yeah, then we had some fun. Once we exhausted the thing, then we'd fill it up with water.
Oh, and it still worked.
And then you'd have to get, you have to pump it up with air so you could shoot it, you know? And so, yeah, that became...
Now this is what kind of show we need to have.
One little thing. Well, I'm pretty sure I told that story on Depravity's Rainbow something.
I must have missed it.
Yeah.
It is a good one. It's definitely worth repeating.
Yeah, no, I did a lot of foolish stuff in my youth. I was in with a good group of guys, and, you know, we can look back and you can laugh at some of this stuff, but some of it was pretty dangerous.
Yeah, that's...
Once we started drinking and driving, we were doing crazy stuff, you know, and one time my friend drove up a main highway with another friend on the hood of the car.
Oh, yeah. What is it, car surfing, they call that, or something like that?
Well, I don't think it was planned. It was, I think they were fighting and they were drunk. And,
okay.
And the guy just kind of threw himself on the front of the car, and my friend took off with him on there. You know, I wasn't part of that incident.
No, well, that's good.
But there were others. I was in the car with, a friend when we were coming back from a bar. You know, this was when you could drink when you were 18.
I was there.
Yeah, I was, and my birthday was in November. I had to wait a year. So I literally could drink, like, almost my entire senior year.
Yeah.
I turned 18 in November. So then I was drinking legally from November to June. And my friends, most of my friends were a year older, so they were drinking already. So, there was some crazy stuff. And am I going to change them? No.
No.
So, I just don't do it myself,
Didn't we talk about that just recently?
I think so.
Trying to use logic and reason with people that they came to these... using neither. That's not how you're going to get rid of it.
No, you just sort of have to sort of hopefully, I think attitudes have changed in this country.
Yeah, well, that's why I said in like 1,000 years.
Not,
1,000 years, Mike, it might be. It might be just...
If in 10,000 years we're just sort of like... brains that sit on a table. And
will you stop in the year 2125?
That could be the future, right?
No.
Our brains are wired to some sort of meaningless activity that we do every day. I don't know.
You guys start. Yeah, we're already wired. We're not even going to need the connections. It's going to be wireless connections.
Yeah.
But anyway. Oh, this was great, Mike.
All right, Fredericks.
All right, man. Talk to you later.
Take care.
Bye.